This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Hey, it's time to welcome our special guest. I'm very excited. From RuPaul's Drag Race and the new HBO series, we're here. It's DJ Shangela Pierce. Thank you for joining us.
Well, hallelujah.
You coined a phrase that I love, which is that you're corn queening.
It couldn't get any more true.
And you're in your hometown.
Yes. I didn't go back to where I live in Los Angeles because it was such kind of a hotbed area. So yeah. I ended up corn queening here with my mom and my grandma in our family home in Paris, Texas, that is. I have to always define that. Paris, Texas.
And how's it going? How's it going corn queening with your mom and grandmother?
Yeah. So it's been really nice being close to my mom. Although, you know, when you get back in your family's house, all of a sudden you're 16 again.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's right. All the dynamics come rushing back. Yeah. It comes exactly. You're right back where you started. Yeah.
You got it. And as much as I'm like, Mom, I'm an adult. I'm on a show on HBO. She's like, great, but the trash cans need to go out. And you look too skinny. Come in here and eat more. And I'm like, I've eaten three times.
So you started doing drag in 2009.
That's right.
So you'd been doing drag for about 5 months when you were cast on season two of RuPaul's Drag Race. But
yes,
you were eliminated in the first episode. So do you feel like you were too new at the time, or was it I just got to go out for this and try to make it happen now kind of thing?
Okay. So I'm going to let you know. Honestly, in the moment, I thought, oh, how could they eliminate me?
Yeah.
I came in here ready to win. I mean, I literally had quit my corporate job in PR at the time to go, and I was winning 20, you know, at the time, season two, the goal or the cash prize was $20,000. And, you know, being novice diva, I just knew $20,000 is going to make all my dreams come true. So I was like, y'all can keep this job. I'm going to win Drag Race. They cast me. I'd only done 10 drag shows total at the time. I was doing a show once every 2 weeks for those 5 months. And I remember thinking in the moment, how could they let me go? Now, looking back at it, I'm like, ooh, okay, it's a show about makeup. I probably should have put some on to come in that front door. And mind you, that face took me 2 hours to put together.
Okay, so then you were asked to come back a couple more times.
I think after that year, after getting voted off, I thought, oh my gosh, do I go back to my job and, you know, be like, just kidding. Because honestly, it had only been 2 days since I quit. I mean, I literally quit to go do the show, and I thought I was going to be gone for a month filming. Girl, when they sent me home 2 days later, I was sitting there with all my luggage like, oh, wow. But I decided, you know what? I really have a passion for this. I really love entertaining. I really want to be an entertainer. So I decided I'm going to just go for it. And I started picking up more gigs and more shows and competing in pageants. And the people from Drag Race saw that I, you know, put such an effort in becoming a better queen that they invited me back onto season three.
And also you did, from 2017 to 18, you did the Work the World Tour, right? Which was, you produced and performed. That featured other drag queens from RuPaul's Drag Race. And you guys went around the world in this big tour.
As a drag queen, as a performer, I had been on a number of tours and loved working with a lot of the promoters, but some of them really didn't understand drag and didn't understand what queens needed and how to best produce when you're working with drag queens. A lot of times they don't even look at the dressing rooms for the queens. So they're just like, okay, you got 7 queens, 2 rooms, perfect. We'll put 3 queens in one and 4 in the other. No, okay, we all have 2 luggage apiece. And also the things that happen off the stage. How to keep queens happy. If you have a drink for the divas, please have a straw because we can't be ruining our lipstick on these, you know, Coke cans or bottles or anything like that. Have straws for the divas. They're just little things that go into making the girls happy. And you make the girls happy, you make a great show.
Jonathan, does this not sound like everything we say all the time?
Yeah, no, this is pretty much the same. Except
I like
the straw.
I like a straw for that exact
Jonathan,
reason.
What about your lipstick, Jonathan?
It's a very pale shade, so it doesn't actually give me too much trouble.
It's tattooed. He doesn't want to say it. It's tattooed.
It's tattooed.
and you act. You were in the recent remake of A Star Is Born. You played the head drag queen at a bar where Bradley Cooper's character meets Lady Gaga and for the first time. So they were originally looking for a Marilyn Monroe or Barbra Streisand impersonator. So you didn't go out to audition. But then you did go out. You decided. What changed?
Well, I remember seeing the casting for it, and you're right. They were originally, for one of the roles, casting for a Marilyn Monroe drag impersonator.
Yeah.
And I just knew that, look, drag queens, we can go across the boards, across, you know, genders, across cultures, across race. It doesn't really matter. A lot of times, if you're a queen, you go in and do the role. But I just knew if a film, a major film, it's what I felt, a major film was casting Marilyn Monroe, most likely they were going to go spot on Marilyn. And it don't matter how much time, you know, I stay up at the sun, I'm a diva of color, and I wasn't going to be, you know, serving them full on Marilyn. So I didn't go in. But I got this email from Bobby Campbell, who's Gaga's manager, and he said, you know, LG and I, LG, that's Lady Gaga, hallelujah. He goes, LG and I heard that you didn't come in for the audition. And he goes, and she wanted to see you for this role. Well, honey, if LG and Bobby Campbell wanted to see you for the role, I went up to Hollywood Touring Costumes. I bought that little white dress in a bag. I had the little blonde hairstyle. I put a little beauty mark right above my lip on the right. And went over there and I sang, I Want to Be Loved by You.
Yes.
Well, girl, I didn't get the job. And he was like, no, you didn't get Marilyn. But they really loved your personality. They really loved your audition. They're actually writing a role into the film for the drag bar owner. And they want to cast you as that role with lines and dialogue and all that. And I was like, oh.
Amazing. And because you were in A Star Is Born that was nominated for Best Picture, you became the first drag queen to walk the red carpet at the Oscars.
Yes, I'll never forget that. I mean, I was there with one of my best friends, my mentor, my landlord, everything, Miss Jennifer Lewis. It was like amazing. I'll never forget that day. We were the first ones on the carpet. Did I tell you
that? Oh, really? No.
Oh, yeah, because Jennifer said, honey, listen, you ain't never done this before. Me, I'm a veteran. Mm. Honey, she goes, honey, this is your first movie, okay? As soon as someone more famous than you shows up, they're going to push you right along. So she made sure that she was like, we're going early. We got there so early, the press person came out and said, hi, welcome. We're like, yes, honey, we're here for the carpet. She said, okay, we haven't opened the carpet yet, but if you guys want to hang out in your car, we'll come and get you. So when we got in there, then we proceeded to go down and like talk to every news outlet almost that was there, even the non-English speaking. I was like, hola, yes, soy Shangela in La Estrella es Navitate. Yes.
And now you star in the new HBO series, We're Here. You and Bob the Drag Queen and Eureka O'Hara. The premise is that you guys roll into town and you put on a one-night-only drag performance for the residents in these towns. There's a lot going on in every episode. And I'm just wondering, what was your initial experience doing this series?
Honestly, I jumped on the project immediately at the beginning because the creators, Johnny Ingram and Steve Warren, you know, came to me and said, look, we've got this idea about you guys traveling to these small towns and putting on these one night only drag shows and partnering with these people who have these amazing stories. And I just knew that experience. I felt like it resonated with me because I grew up in a small town. You remember, I'm from Paris, Texas, and I know what it's like being a young gay kid that looks around and thinks, oh my gosh, I'm the only person like me, maybe even in the world, because you don't have those visual, you know, images of gay people out loud and proud on television and in film at the time that I was growing up and coming out. But we go into these places and somehow we unearth these communities of support in places where we didn't expect to find them. And that's what was life-changing for me.
Yeah, you know, and something else I like about it, which I think is very realistic, is some of their participants have pretty large transformations. Like their journey that has followed through the show is a big awakening or just a feeling that they have voice or they're empowered. And for other people, it's smaller. It's still significant, but it's smaller. It's a little more subtle. Like, you know, you've just been able to turn that screw just another little way in a direction. I really appreciate that as a viewer, because I don't think everything has to be like this, you know, made for TV, ridiculously large celebration. You know, sometimes they can be small.
Ophir, you're exactly right in that. And what's beautiful to me to see is that this is a real life docuseries. This is a real life experience for people. So there isn't always this huge happy ending. It's not like a J-Lo rom-com, which I love J-Lo rom-coms. Okay, give me Made in Manhattan, The Wedding Planner. But it's not that. And sometimes we don't get the full, like, Hollywood ending that we would like, but that's real life. Also, in seeing this transformation for people, even though some of them may seem small, they're really big to the person who's going through
them. Absolutely.
And
yeah.
I remember thinking, like, wow, I wish, you know, maybe this had gone farther. But I had to take a second and look at the person I was working with and go, wow, this was huge for them. This was huge for them. And to look around in their town and go, I'm not alone. I didn't know that. Wow. That's really big.
That's so great.